Hello and welcome back to the Bottom Line Me podcast, where I'm here today to continue my conversation with Bill Svoboda on his simple business plan. Bill, welcome back. Great to have you join me again.
Well, I'll tell you, it's fun. It's fun being here with you because, you know, there's just a lot of energy when we talk about simplifying things. It's a fun topic.
It's not only a fun topic, but it's kind of energizing too. It doesn't feel, you know, it's not draining. So when last we met, we talked a lot about the five different categories or segments that you've created in your simple business plan. And so today I was hoping you would dive into that first segment a little deeper, and that I believe was the customer segmentation. So,
yeah. Well, and you know, you brought it up in the past podcast where you were like starting with the customer instead of the value proposition or why we got into business. It was a little different thinking about that. Let's start with the customer. Let's just start with why we want to start with the customer on this. Obviously, there's some impetus to why should we be in business? You know, there's this motivating idea. This idea has to click where someday somebody goes, I want to be in the title and escrow industry. I want to start a business or I want to get a job here. But when we're talking about a growth and a scale plan, I want to start with the customer because the customer is going to drive a lot of our decisions about why we even want to get into this business. Okay, so I want to make this very simple. I don't want to overcomplicate this because I don't think we need to make, again, my whole goal is to make things simple. And I don't want you to think about your customer as anything that's too complicated. I want you to break it down to understanding who you love working with. Okay, if we could think about our customer segments as who do we love working with? Who does my team love working with? Talk to me about the demographics. Talk to me about the area. Talk to me about the type of transactions. Talk to me about this. If you could get your team into a room and say, let's talk about our best customers, that's where this conversation starts. Okay, so I don't want to make this too high and lofty. It could literally begin with your customer segments are the people that you love working with. And if you could have 10 more people like them, that right there is your customer segment. Does that make sense?
Well, I think one of the things you said is that who you work with, and I'm paraphrasing what you said, drives every decision that you make. Now, I think we all know that, but having you actually define it and speak it out loud, it really caused me to sit up and take notice because I don't know that I've ever thought about it in that way. I think when we run a business or we open a business, we think about all the things that we need to put together to make this business work when the best place to start is who am I? Who do I want to work with? And that will that's an aha moment for me.
Well, that helps you create the right value proposition for them. And it helps you go back to thinking, who do I need to help me make it? And how many locations do I need? All the things kind of sort themselves out when you think of that. So let me give you this example. And I love trying to give a practical example that's not in our industry. So for customer segments, and you know, I'm sure you have a streaming service that you watch like Netflix or Hulu, or you know, when you're on it, what I'm blown away by is you can watch a show and then right underneath it, after you finish that season, it's going to say, you might also like this. People who watch this also like this. Or think of Amazon when you're looking at a certain book or a simple, a specific product, it's going to say, you might also like this. Now, those you might also like is not just based on people who have ordered that can order this also, but it's also based on what you've ordered in the past. It creates trends and it gets to know you as a customer. So companies like Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, when they understand their customer, all of a sudden the aha moment happens and they're not selling air quotes to the customer anymore. They're offering what the customer wants or needs that might not even be able to express it yet. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been in that Amazon shopping cart and I'm looking for one thing and then I see that other thing and it's like, oh yeah, I might need that. Because I bought something else a month ago and it says, you might also want this now. It gets to know me as a customer. So that's really, if we could break it down, how well do we know our customers to solve the problems they don't even think they have yet? That's what it looks like to understand our customer.
Wow. I'm blown away with that because it's just not the way traditionally that I've ever looked at putting together a plan and then figuring out how I'm going to execute that plan. So tell me more. What else can you tell us about customer segments?
Yeah, so you might look at it and go, okay, right now, maybe you're a title or escrow in charge of sales. Or in charge of marketing. Let's say you wanted to attract new real estate agents. Right now, it's kind of a tougher market and you're going like, okay, we don't just need more orders. We need more real estate agents giving us orders. We need to increase our marketing to them. We need more sales. We need more realtors being aware of our brand so they can give us more files. Or we need to attract more customers. General, right. How do we do it? So let's say you're looking at this whole market and you're going, you know what? There's a lot of real estate agents out there. Over the past 10, 20 years, they have their title or escrow company they've been working with. We got to somehow get them from the company they chose to do business with in the past.
Right.
Now, you might look at somebody who's been working with another title company for 20 or 30 years. You know, that's going to be a hard sell to get them away. But if you start looking at some newer real estate agents out there and go, okay, our customer segment that we're going to hit on for the next 6 months hard is anybody who's been in real estate for under 5 years. So let's put ourselves in that real estate agent's shoes. What are they looking for in a title company? You might look at it and go, well, what's a 25-year-old real estate agent want? They're probably not going to want to have everything in the office. They're probably going to want a more digital or on-demand closing experience. So that's going to influence now the type of technology you're going to look at. It's going to influence the way you think about your locations. It's going to think about, what do we need to offer? We need to actually offer the ability to text message our closers. We need to be thinking about these things, because if I want to attract 25 and 30-year-old realtors to our business, because that's a new segment for us, that's one right there that they're looking for a new title company because they got burned. Well, how are we going to attract them? And now you can start asking the right questions. So I get very, I get excited thinking about that customer segment opportunity, because it's really, who do we want to work with and what do they want? Not what do I want to sell them? What do I want to make them do to work with me? It's what do they want and how can I help them?
Your example is spot on. And I think thinking about, when you think about customer segments, I go back to kind of traditional buyer, seller, lender, broker, but you've really taken a deeper dive into what that is by defining a group of realtors, let's say, that have been in the business for a certain period of time, and that's your target market. I absolutely can see how your value proposition or how you're going to market to them is going to be far more efficient because you've identified it. But, you mentioned the Amazon or the Netflix experience and how if I watch a certain movie, I get a recommendation for another. So how do you do that in this business? I'm dealing with certain realtors. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, let me throw something by you, Anne, because I gave you kind of one side of the coin. I said, you know, the realtor who's been in the business for less than 5 years and they're tech focused and this and that. I feel like that's one that we talk often about. It's kind of that new shiny object in the industry. But let's talk about that realtor who's been in it for 20 or 30 years, and maybe you're trying to win their business, okay? Their value proposition is going to be totally different. They might not want a change in technology. They want just solid, they want a solid relationship with their team. They want to know that any technology you bring in and anything that you do in the closing process makes it more confident on closing day that it's going to happen. So when I think about, you know, going back to your question, what does it look like to have those add-ons once you start thinking about, you know, I watched this show on Netflix, so I might like this. You might start looking at it and going, well, if I'm going to attract a real estate agent who's been in this business for 20, 30, 40 years, what do they expect? They expect to be able to talk on the phone with me. They don't want to be forced to text message. You know, all things don't work for all people. Okay. So my point in focusing on the customer starting is, you know what, you're going to start looking and going, maybe there's a better opportunity for us than attracting, you know, the realtor who's been in the business for less than 5 years and who came from, you know, some other background, to let's actually focus on some people who used to maybe be insurance salesmen who have been in the business for 20, 30 years, who were this, that have a lot of other career experiences, and all they want is the most solid relationship. How do we make our value proposition about the relationship over just technology? So you might start thinking about things like, well, you know what, the country club experience. Like, how can we make this a more white glove experience? How can we have different experiences on closing day? I know one title company, the owner, she's active in the VFW locally, and that is her audience. And she wins every single deal from real estate agents that are active in the VFW. What does
Interesting.
that mean?
So,
It means that she knows her customers and she creates a closing experience that makes them feel comfortable. So her real estate agents go, I love working with her because she gets me. She gets me. So my question is, who are you getting on the same page with? Who are you going, I understand what you're looking for and I want to help you by creating that type of process, whether it's tech or white glove service or the type of closing experience on the day of, what is it? And all of a sudden, when you start putting yourself in the customer's shoes, you start going, oh, I bet they'd like this. I bet they'd like this. Or they just tell you. They literally just tell you, like that one title company that I talked about. Pre-COVID, their biggest thing was these white chocolate macadamia nut cookies, I think. White chocolate macadamia nut or oatmeal raisin. And I visited their office once. I fell in love with them. I was like, what in the world? And it became synonymous with the closing experience because their type of customer wanted that. Some other realtor didn't care about that, but their type did.
I have so many questions, but one of the things that comes to mind for me is that, you know, this is really such a, I think an efficient way to kind of plan who it is you want to go after. But I think one of the things that happens to all of us is that we don't want to turn away a certain demographic, or we don't want to turn away a group. And so we may end up spreading ourselves too thin and attempt to go after you know, where you're in a Home Depot, and instead of just going to the aisle that you need to be in, you're overwhelmed by the entire store. And then you walk out of there with nothing. That's happened to me many times. But so any suggestion or ideas on how you can kind of figure out what aisles you should be in, and how to be sure that you stay there, and how long you need to stay there.
Yeah, that's great. And this is again why we start with the customer segment, because if you get your team in the boardroom or via Zoom, whatever it is, and you go, who do we love working with? Who do we want to work with more? How do we get 10 more of that type of customer? All of a sudden, then it's easy to work backwards in the second, third, fourth, fifth area of this business plan and go, well, what kind of marketing do we need? What's the messaging to them? How do we not compromise the message? Because we want more people like that. We want more residential. We want more real estate agents who are doing, you know, their deals over $500,000. We want more real estate agents who want to have in-person closings. We don't want to be talking about all this Ron stuff. We want to talk about, you know, shake hands, kiss babies. We want to have relationships. Or maybe you go like, we want more tech, you know? And I guarantee, my point is this, if you start with the customer, you're going to be focused on the right thing because your marketing message, your sales messages, the value proposition, how you show up and how you want to grow your business. Do you need one location or 20? Do you need zero locations? Is it fully remote? Everything else becomes very easy. And that's kind of how I look at defining the lanes and staying, you know, outside of other aisles that I shouldn't be in.
Right. Well, you've just sort of, you've won me over very quickly, even in terms of some of the work that I do and how we identify and target who the customers are that we want to work with. So I think it's applicable in so many areas of our business, not just as the owner, but as I said, whether you're the salesperson, the manager, or one of the processors.
Let me say this, Anne, you know, let's go back to this technology thing, because I mean, we're living in 2024 here. Text messaging is becoming something that's it's a given almost in life. You know, everybody texts nowadays. Let's say you look at it and go like, my real estate agents really don't want to be texting with me. And then all of a sudden this, you know, so you have great relationships via email and phone, you're doing everything right. But then you get this new real estate agent and they just do one or two deals, you know, every other month, but they're like, I hate working with your company because you don't text me. Would you please start texting me? You have a real choice point to go, okay, what is our business going to be? We have 98% of our customers that love our processes right now and we're happy versus this one squeaky wheel. You have these choice points though, because that one person that's going, I wish you would text me, they see other things about your business that other people recognize as well. Now you might need to look at your business and go, should I be listening to them? Are these other people just not even aware of this new technology yet? They should be, because I use text messaging as one thing. There's countless different areas that this can apply to. But we always have choice points as decision makers in this industry to go, okay, how much do we want to lean in and how much do we want to own our current relationships? How much do we want to own and double down? How much do we want to lean into something new and hope people come with us? Because there's always going to be friction. You can't win everybody.
Right. Yeah. So, well, you know, that one or two type of person that you're talking about that wants you to do the opposite of what seems to be working and what the vast majority of your clients and customers love about working with you. It you know, I think many of us have gotten caught in that, particularly when the market is down, is that you want to serve everyone and you want to meet everybody's needs. So that's a real challenge. But I think you're right. It's a choice and you have to figure out, okay, does it make sense for us to make an exception here for this customer, or do we need to come up with another strategy around this type of customer, or is this not a customer that we really are interested in pursuing long term?
So, yeah. Well, and you know, that's probably a good transition to like the next topic when we get there on the value proposition. Like, what are we selling? You know, what are we selling? And then the next area of the vision of where do we want to be in 3 years? Do we want to be working with people who want to come into the office or people who want fully remote? Or how do we want to build our, you know, do we want 20 locations, 5? Do we want to be in every state? You know, all those decisions become a little easier when we start here with the customer.
Awesome. All right. So Bill, I need you to give us the bottom line on customer segments before I let you go today.
Customer segments is this: you will not win everyone to your business, and that's okay. keep the relationships you own, make them stronger. When you decide you want to work with somebody and they love working with you, own it and continue to own it until you realize there's something else that you want to focus on. Don't be all things, all people.
Yeah, that's a great bottom line, and it's a great way for us to end today. Thanks again, Bill, for spending some time with me, and thanks to our audience for joining us. And we'll be back with our next segment on value propositions. So until then, let's all continue to learn, grow, and prosper. Thanks.